Welcome to the Life and Times podcast with your host, Lloyd Phillips. This is a podcast that's put on for the people, by the people, of the people. To be honest, I think I'm the only people. It's really just going to be me, probably, and occasionally maybe some other people, but... Welcome back to the Life and Times podcast. I'm your host, Lloyd Phillips. We start every show with our show sponsors. So here they are. Today's show sponsors are Boxing Bear Print Company. You can reach them at boxingbear.com. It's an independent art studio established in 2011 out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They do a lot of awesome things. There's prints that you can buy, Day of the Dead prints, fine prints, indie art, movies and TV, music, pop culture, postcards, stickers, vintage signs, of all the art that they've done. And I'm sure maybe some of those originals are still there. Maybe they're not, but then he has originals still available, and their art is awesome. Right now, you can Christmas shop. I did notice that there's some Home Alone ornaments, tree ornaments, that have been drawn up, and they look super awesome, and I'm about to get those this week, as a matter of fact. So check them out. Boxing Bear Print Company, they're at boxingbear.com. Our next sponsor is The Cookie Barn. You can reach them at thecookiebarnwaco.com. They're an online cookie company, and they do have a pickup location. They'll deliver locally if you're around the Waco, Texas area, and they ship nationwide. So orders for birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, showers, or any occasion, or just enjoy them yourself. So they specialize in company and client relations. They have discount pricing. So if you're in sales, go hit them up, send them to your customers. It's tis the season, by the way. So check them out, but let your clients know you're thinking about them by hitting them up and, giving them cookies from the Cookie Barn. Anyway, with every purchase, you'll be satisfied knowing that they're supporting an amazing nonprofit organization, and they help foster and adopted families. And so a portion of every purchase, it goes towards E1A.org. E1A.org, encourage one another. Once again, check them out. TheCookieBarnWaco.com is where they can be reached. Hey, it's the holiday season, so let's start ordering. Make sure to enter Life and Times podcast for 20% off your first order. Once again, Life and Times podcast, no spaces altogether. So make sure you get it, 20% off your first order. Listen to this. Yeah, that's right. Make sure you do it. So for those of you who, if this is your first week to listen, thanks for listening in. And, we do this thing every week, and, it's really just me talking about my life stories. And, if I'm not that interesting, I don't know, just pretend like I am. So for those of you that listen every week, welcome back. I appreciate it. This week was a busy week for me. throughout the week was busy, but more the weekend was where it really, I had a lot going. So everybody knows that I do these, I'm the PA football announcer. Did I say that right? What do you say? Whatever. Yeah, I'm the football announcer for this local place, which I talk about every week, but every week's like a new saga in this event. So I did this elementary game on Saturday. It's games, but I was speaking. And, I'm in the box, and my kids run around the stadium just like every other little kid does. Like, when I was a kid, we would play football at the football, while the football game was going, but, like, underneath the bleachers or over to the side. Yeah, they still kind of do this here, but I have girls, so I don't really do that. Well, they're always wanting stuff. And so I got to be honest, I don't know if my 7-year-old daughter is going to go to prison or not because I gave her a $5 bill. I don't know what she's doing. You know, I don't know what kind of deal she's got going, but I gave her a $5 bill and because she wanted whatever she wanted. So she comes back to give me my change. And she has a water and candy, whatever candy it was. I don't remember, but she hands me back $6. And I instantly got a little confused as to why or how she came back with water, candy, and more money than I gave her. So I don't know what took place. I don't know what kind of scam she's running down there. I don't know what kind of game. I don't know what kind of side hustle my daughter has, but... apparently, she's got something going. So later on that day, she came to the concession stand, and I gave her $5 more. I was just seeing how this game would work, seeing if she really had something going. And then there was much confusion after that because the first time I got a dollar back, the second time, I don't know what she got. But the change she brought back was $3.26. Now, at a concession stand at your local school system function, whatever you buy is 50 cents, a dollar, $2, $5. You know, it's like it's always on the nose, like it's always a zero. She brings me back $3.26, which means something at the concession stand cost $3.26. Did I just completely not do math in front of the world listening? Something cost $1.74 is where I'm going with that. So I don't know. I was thinking like, is she running some kind of scam? And then the last one, I'm not sure what happened. It was a very confusing time. But anyway, so I'm sitting in the box and I got to leave. I can't do all the games because it turns out, this past weekend, I had to DJ a wedding. By the way, I'm not a wedding DJ. I don't even know anything about DJing. But somebody just decided like, I know them, the family, and they're like, hey, you talk a lot. Do you want to be a wedding DJ? So I said, sure. I wasn't going to tell them no, like they're family friends. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So anyway, that got sidetracked. So I tell the person I won't be here for the later games. Because I got a DJ a wedding. She's like, wait, you're a wedding DJ? I could have used you a month ago. And I'm like, no, I'm not a wedding DJ. I'm going to do it. I'm not one. And, so she starts talking to me about it. And I guess this wedding DJing thing is a thing. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it is. I didn't know this. People do it. I just didn't know what DJs charge. That's really unbelievable that when I found that out. And by the way, I completely did it for free because they're family friends, but yeah, they really got me sidetracked with that comment. So I leave the place. I gotta go set up. I go to the wedding first and then I take my stuff there afterward because I use some of the same kind of stuff while I'm announcing the football games. So I took it there. I tried to get set up before they got from the wedding to the reception area, and I noticed a couple of things, and I started thinking a couple of things, and then I started talking to people about it. Do any of you ever who's listening to this have you ever drank punch at any social function, whether it's an anniversary, maybe a work function, maybe somebody's birthday, a wedding reception? You know, punch is always a thing. It's always at every one of these functions. And to be honest, I don't personally know anybody that's ever drank punch. I've never drank punch other than the first time that I decided that I hated it. And I don't know anybody that drinks punch at their house just because they're like, hey, man, you know what would be great this summer evening? Let's go get some punch. Let's go get some pop or soda, depending on where you're from. And let's go get a tub of ice cream. And then let's go get some fruit. I watched it being made. So this was this particular recipe. If yours is different, I apologize. Let's go cut up some fruit and then let's throw that in a bowl. then let's throw the ice cream in a bowl, and then let's pour a bunch of Sprite in there, and then let's pour some mix in there and mix it around. And then and they're like, hey, do you want to try this? No. Did you just hear the ingredients? I don't want to try that. I don't. I mean, I know there's people who are like, well, do you not like root beer floats? You know, you put root beer in ice cream. Yes, I've heard of that. And yes, I recall having it maybe twice in my life, and I recall liking it. But I don't like Sprite, and I'm not drinking Sprite and ice cream and whatever fruit you put in there with some kind of... Look, I'm getting really sidetracked. Does anybody actually drink punch at their house? I don't think it's a thing. It's not a thing. And then I started asking people. I was like, hey, do you like punch at the wedding? And believe it or not, there were a lot of people that like punch. And I said, you ever drink it at your house? They're like, no. I'm like, now, if you say you love it, then how come you've never had it at your house? She's like, I don't know. I said, gee. No, I gave it away. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Because one person told me they love punch. And I was like, you ever drink it at your house? She's like, no. But she said, you know what? I'm going to do it this week. And I'm going to do it just because you brought it up. And I'm like, well, I hope you enjoy it. So I didn't drink the punch. I didn't do it. But, you know, like all those movies when I was a kid, like all those 80s movies at prom where people were like, hey, let's spike the punch. Hey, let's spike the punch. You want to get this party really going? Let's pour some alcohol in that punch bowl. I mean, it's so I just don't like it. Sorry for dragging it out. I apologize. Now, the wedding was fine. The wedding was fine itself, minus the punch I wasn't gonna drink. A couple interesting things, though, I'm going to get to. They had a donut wall. Like, it's an entire... It looked like it was like an accent wall, but it was donuts. And because somebody said these donuts were the greatest donuts ever. And I don't even like donuts regularly. I do not go on any morning to get donuts. I'm not saying that I won't eat them if they're around where I'm at, but I never myself, like, you know what I want this morning? I want to go get a bunch of donuts. I just don't do it. But when I'm staring at an accent wall full of donuts for an extended period of time, at some point my mind starts to drift off and I think, I wonder what that donut tastes like. Hey, I wonder what that donut could possibly taste like. And I just kept staring at the donuts, and then I hear random people who walk by the DJ table and they're like, hey man, have you tried those donuts? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And I don't like them. Typically, I don't like them, but you keep saying it. And to be honest, that's all that's going through my head. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to go get one. And to be honest, I did. I believe I had three. I had three. I didn't have four. I had three of them. I did not wash it down with punch. I did not do that, though. That was a thing I didn't do. Anyways, so I'll move forward from the food part. So it came time for best man speeches and best woman speeches. And it made me realize. And now I'm going to say some of the things they're saying, but keep in mind, because I'm going after I tell you this, is really, it's really like setting up really kind of like a punchline here, but these people were very legitimate, and I believe the people who gave the best man and woman speeches really believed the words they were saying. Because it's, you know, it's probably true about these two people. And they really, but you know, but it's hard to like, when you start giving best man speeches, you're giving them your best, so they all sound the same. And you know, there's a lot of people, so it's like, your love is so real. Your love is so real. I mean, so real. Like, it's like, no, like you're an inspiration and your love is so real. Now, that sounded like I was making fun of it only because I guess I heard one guy say it a few times in a row. But it very well may have been true. But where I'm going with that is this. It made me think, when I gave speeches at weddings, but not, this was a traditional wedding that I was a part of, you know, at this DJing thing. Some of the other ones didn't go do the reception thing after, like where you set up front and eat and give speeches. Some, I mean, some were, but some of the others weren't. They were just different. So the speeches I've given at weddings, you know, I'd get on the microphone and I would say things where I didn't get heartfelt. I mean, really, I would just do this. Like, my buddy Paul got married, and so I got the microphone, and I knew some people there that we'd worked with, and I knew, like, his brother or whatever, a couple brothers. But outside of that, I didn't really know their families. So I get up, I grab the microphone, I walk up front, and I was like, hey, this is really awkward for me. This is my speech, by the way. And they completely didn't do that at this wedding. So I'm like, hey, this is really awkward for me. And to see Paul, you know, I'm so happy for Paul, and I'm so excited for him, but it's really weird for me, and I'm trying to get used to it. I used to date Paul, and you know, things went south or whatever, and I'm just trying to be supportive here. It's a really weird deal. You know, I wish you guys the best. And then I hung up I turned the microphone off, and I walked off. And there was some mild confusion on some people's faces, like what just happened. And and that was it. Like, I don't believe I gave a kind word. I don't recall giving a kind word. But that's how I did it. So when I'm watching these speeches, I'm like, man, these people really love these people. And by the way, I love Paul. I just told you the kind of speech I gave. It was more out of personal humor. And then I walked off. But, you know, there was no meltdowns. There wasn't any, you know, nobody had a meltdown over my speech or anything like that. I'll tell you the oddest thing about the wedding. It had nothing to do with anything I just said. Where the location was at, where they had the reception, where the restroom was at when you walk in there, they have one urinal. And, you know, that urinal, it didn't have a divider. And it was right next to the sink. And typically, like, that's not, like, completely uncommon. You can go to sporting events, and the restroom's down there. The urinals may not have dividers. So it's not, you know, it's just something that you're accustomed to dealing with when you're a guy, especially if you go to, like, concerts or sporting events and things like that. And so I don't get stage fright, but when I walked up to the urinal, I didn't think anything about it, but then somebody walked out of the stall area and they start washing their hands. And that's when I realized where you washed your hands and where I was relieving myself in the urinal. It was about a foot and a half from where I was at. Like, the sink literally was like a foot and a half, and there's no divider. So every time people hump forward to wash their hands, I just felt like they were peeking a little, and it was, and so it just made it really awkward. Now, listen, I'm not the kind, you get some of those guys, listen, if you're ladies and you hear this, when you go to those kind of sporting events, sometimes you'll get those guys and they'll lean their entire body into the urinal, like their whole body, like they're actually touching the porcelain. Look, I'm not doing that, because I'm not really, I don't feel like I'm a super shy guy or anything, like where I got to put my whole, where I got to put all my unit inside the urinal. But, and I didn't do it this night either, but I am going to tell you, for somebody who doesn't really feel awkward, really, when the sink is a foot and a half from where the urinal is at, that was the most awkward thing of the entire wedding, and nobody in the wedding had anything to do. Well, the random people walking in, but, like, you know, the wedding party, they weren't aware of this. I don't even know if anybody overanalyzed it like I did, but I just remember finding that to be a pretty odd and strange thing. And you know, it was a good time. So. That's it. Well, I just brought up my buddy Paul, so I'll tell you this story. And it's a very random, but there was a Facebook post this week, and it had to do with these two people, and one of them being Paul. And so we used to work together. So we were in Mandan, North Dakota, and we were at some refinery there in the North Dakota area. There's only one, so. And we were waiting. We were the day crew. We were waiting on the night shift, and they were late. They weren't, I don't recall them just being like literally late into their 12-hour shift, but they weren't there as early as they should have been. And so we're calling like, hey, where you guys at? You got to be here. And he's like, and we call this guy named Jesse, and Jesse's like, man, this state's stupid. I'm like, what? Why? He's like, dude, there's stop signs all over the highway. He's like, I would be on time. I literally, there's 40 stop signs on the highway. Now, the part you don't know is we had already been working there 2 weeks, and then we got removed because there was some kind of conference where at our hotel who people had reservations for like a year. That job ran long, which put us there during the conference. So they literally kicked us out, and we had to switch locations. So anyway, so he's just, so you got that backstory. So we're like, okay. So he pulls in and he starts telling us, he's like, man, this state is so stupid. He said there's stop signs everywhere, and they're not even regular stop signs. They're tiny stop signs. Like, they're tiny stop signs, and they're off the road like 50 feet. I mean, who puts stop signs 50 feet off the highway? I mean, he's really giving it to us and telling us why he's late. And really, we just want to go. And we're like, okay. So we left. It was our time. So now we were finally going to do that journey that apparently he had experienced. So as we're driving and getting closer, I mean, we're almost to where we're staying. And I started to realize as we're driving, it hit me. And I said, hey, Paul, are we on the same road Jesse was on? He's like, yes. And so I'm like, well, do you know what Jesse was doing? And he didn't get it. And I'm like, do you see those stop signs, these little tiny stop signs up on the bike trail? And he's like, well, yeah, those bike trail stop signs. I'm like, those are the stop signs Jesse was stopping at on the highway. And like every 100 foot, there was a bike trail stop sign. And the night shift guy was stopping at every stop sign on the highway at every bike trail stop sign that was off of the highway. And that's what he was doing. I don't know if people were behind him. I don't know if they thought he was an idiot. But the funniest thing is that he showed up and he was late to work because he didn't know that those were bike trail stop signs. He just thought in North Dakota they had tiny stop signs. And that is the most unbelievable thing that I'd ever... I just thought maybe you would have known that since there was a tiny paved bike trail path where the stop signs were. I just assumed maybe you would have figured it out, but I guess he didn't. But I never really forgot that. That I thought that that was that was a funny deal. So anyway, so here's what happened today. I did this today, and this is I've never done. I have, this is something else I've never done before. The wedding DJ, of course, has never happened. But I actually myself, I've never been to a drive-in theater ever. You know, I know they're iconic, I guess, if that's the right word. I did look up today on the internet that there was like 250 drive-ins left in the country. I don't know. That kind of sounds like a lot. But anyway, 250 left in the country. I don't know how many there used to be. But today was the first time. So I don't know how it goes. You pull in, and it's still like the same old – it's not a toll gate. That's what it felt like. It's like you pull into the same driveway that had been there for like 80 years, and you pay the people, and then you just get out. You know, you find a slot, and you get out. Like I had lawn chairs. Some people had blankets on the ground. Our girls just sat in the back of our vehicle. You know, we just backed up and opened the back gate, whatever. So they just sat there and watched. And to be honest, I thought it was kind of cool. I've never experienced it. And if you haven't done that, I mean, you should go check it out. We watched Hocus Pocus is what we were watching. And here's what I learned, though, today as I was watching Hocus Pocus. I keep saying today. Remember how this podcast goes? Today's Monday. As far as your listening goes, I'm recording this on Sunday. So in that movie Hocus Pocus, here's what I learned. I have been saying my whole life, October 31st, what do you say? I'll let you say it to yourself. October 31st, what holiday is that? Now, think that to yourself or say it out loud. Okay, I call it Halloween. I've called it Halloween my whole life. Always Halloween. Like, October 31st. It's Halloween. Let's go trick-or-treating. Halloween. No, man. In Hocus Pocus, I don't know if I've been saying it right or wrong because they call it Halloween, you know, and that makes sense. Hall, H-A-L-L, Halloween. Tonight is Halloween. And right then I realized, have I been saying this word wrong my whole life? I mean, what a strange, am I saying this wrong? Halloween, I say Halloween. But then you watch other movies and they're like, oh, it's Hallow's Eve. So listen, Hollywood, let's get together here because you're really confusing regular people like me where I don't know if it's Halloween or Halloween. It's a really confusing, it's a really confusing deal. And sometimes I like to sound like I'm mildly intelligent and I really just feel like you're blowing it. Speaking of me, liking to feel mildly intelligent. If you hear my podcast, look, you'll hear that I stutter some, but really that's where, you know, I'm always thinking like, all right, where am I going next? And, so I'll do some stuttering. I backtrack. I may not be the greatest speaker, but to speak to me in real life, I mean, I sound the same, but I don't stutter around and backtrack quite the same way I do here. Anyway, here's where I'm going with this. So the other day, somebody said, hey, do you say the word? Let me do it again to you because I want to know. I'm going to see if you're listening. If you had to say out loud the word B-O-T-H, if you had to say Bravo, O-T-H, out loud, B-O-T-H. Now, do you say both? Because right now you're going to be like, yes, it's both. It's yes, I say both. It was brought to my attention, and then after I started thinking about it, I think literally, I'm 41 years old. I don't know the first time I said the word. I'm going to go probably three, maybe four. I say the word, I say both with an L. And right when he told me that, and I started thinking about my whole life, and I would say, like, talk to myself. I'm like, hey, both of you guys come over here. Hey, get both of those. Hey, both. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I just gave you this talk how I like to sound like I'm mildly intelligent. And I'm pretty sure I've said the word both my whole life. Now, I'm going to try not to say it now, but after he said that, I started thinking, both. That's how I got to say it. I gotta get real punchy with it to say it correctly because, you know, if I'm out here winging it, I'm pretty sure I throw an L in that word and it doesn't go. Listen, sorry. Once again, I got sidetracked. So back to the drive-in movie, back to Halloween, however you say it, back to Hocus Pocus. When I'm watching this and this kid walks into his room, every TV show, every movie that I've ever watched, all of them, my whole life. Do you ever notice? And maybe this is because I'm from small town Oklahoma. Maybe I haven't been in a lot of rooms. So let me just get to the point. Every single kid's room in TV shows and movies, I swear their rooms are 2,000 square feet. Every movie, when a kid goes up to his room, if his parents yells or just shows him walk in for whatever reason, or he's just talking, hanging out with his friends, his or her friends in the rooms, the rooms are 2,000 square feet every time. Like, they got to walk 92 steps from the door to their bed, and all you always see the desk that has computers in the background and shelving over here and some more shelving over there. Do you guys ever notice that in movies how big the kids' rooms are? Maybe I got to get better friends, or who have not better friends. Like, my friends are great. Maybe I got to get friends that have bigger rooms. Maybe none of my friends had big houses. Maybe in those movies, maybe the kids' rooms were 2,000 square feet and the rest of the house was 2,000 square feet. Maybe they just really hammed it up for their kids. Anyway, look, is that a thing that anybody's ever noticed? Because I'm pretty sure growing up, when I opened my door to my room for those of you that know me personally, at my in-town home, I'm pretty sure when I opened the door to my room, my bed was just right on the other side of where the door swung, And then there was a closet like to my right and a dresser, which basically meant I had about 4.5 square feet to stand in, to stand in, put my clothes on or take them off or set set with my legs crossed and stare at the TV that was 2 feet away. That was my square footage in my room, as I recall. So anyway, I don't know. Has anybody ever noticed that? I'm just wondering. That's what I see every movie. So the wedding was great. Just to clarify, because I don't know where I was at with that, if you listen later. But the girl that was there, she plays the piano. And I was thinking this because it's a wedding. You never know like what kind of... and it was great. And nobody... there's no family drama, but she plays the piano, and I started thinking, well, you know, the last time I saw real drama during a piano concert, see what I did there, see how I transitioned to that. I was watching Elton John at Caesar's Palace, and while I was watching Elton John at Caesar's Palace, and it was a great concert, like it was awesome concert, to be honest, and I loved it because you know every song, and when you grew up knowing every song and the guy's right in front of you playing it, well, first of all, he wasn't right in front of me. I was on the top level of Caesar's Palace, and so he was way down there. But when they do that, it's cool just to hear them. Well, I don't know how many songs in he is, but he starts to get sentimental. So you know, the lights all go down. And then he has this imagery in the there's videos playing in behind him while he's telling a story about 9/11. He wrote this song for 9/11. So you know, the mood shifted. Well, while he's trying to give this 9/11 speech, all I hear is yelling. I hear yelling and cussing. And I hear a ruckus. Hear that word I just came up with? I heard a ruckus next to me. And so, but I can't see because it's pitch black up there. And so I'm looking over and I'm like, man, what are they doing? It sounds like they're fighting. And then Elton John, in the middle of his speech, he's like, guys, I'm writing a song. I'm telling you the story of the song I wrote about 9/11. Can we have a little more respect and not be loud while I'm trying to tell you this story? Elton John says this from the concert. Elton John doesn't know that there's a Royal Rumble up in the top row, probably because he's Elton John and there's never been a fight at an Elton John concert. And so, like, I see these security guys coming with their flashlights and they're shining it, and all I see is fist and drinks and bodies and people being thrown all in this top section up there, the balcony section. And he stops again. He's like, seriously, guys, he's like, you can't have any more respect than that. He has no idea. He just thinks people are talking. He has no idea what's going on up there. And that was at an Elton John concert. And it was a really intense rumble. And, you know, then they hauled them out, and you could just see, because of the illumination of the flashlights, like back and forth. Yeah, it was all at war to Elton John concert. By the way, that was the last time I attended a piano concert. And it was a good time. No, not true. Not true. I watched Yanni, people. I watched Yanni live in concert. I've talked about it before, so I'm not going to get into it. It's the greatest concert I've ever been to. Ever. Tell your friends. Listen, ran a little long, got a little sidetracked. I appreciate you being on here and listening. Come back next time. By the way, I probably should have said this at the first of the episode. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, and I appreciate it. Hold up. About happen again. Put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, people. Pete, this is for you. We're going big. You're going to get in the Hall of Fame. It may not happen from this actual podcast, but I'm going to keep saying it, and then I'm going to reference back like I had something to do with it. All right. Love everybody. Have a good week. Cool.